In Mark chapter 11, we want to look at the very fact that Jesus gave us this charge. Have faith in God. And we want to think about some things related to that. In Mark 11, verse 22 and 23 and 24, we read, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now Christ's message to his disciples here, brothers and sisters, speaks to us about an issue that really, I think, challenges the Lord's people in every generation. We can't help but notice when we read these verses how spiritually elevated Jesus' very promise is in these verses. And we can't help but notice also how high he set the bar in this statement about how we may have what we may have. We notice that because we see that the bar that he sets is often very much higher than our own expectations, and certainly very often much higher than what our outcomes are when we pray and when we have expectations of God. Now, as children of God, we want to find the place where the mighty things that Christ speaks about come true in our lives. We want that. Every one of us do. And we want to discover, we really want to discover the level of faith that he describes here. But we always are faced with the reality that we as God's people, in a very best of moments of time, we fall so short of this very promise of Christ that the very failure itself looms up before us like a brick wall that we hit. And that experience in itself very often causes us to shrink away from having this confident expectation that Christ is talking about here. We get all despondent and we realize that, well, I thought I did it the way the Lord said. I thought I had that confidence that he was going to give me the very thing that I'd asked, and I didn't get it. And so what have I done? And we shrink back and we may get a little despondent and depressed. Now today, we want to ask some questions about the way we may look at this great teaching the Lord Jesus has given us here. And I trust that God, the Holy Spirit, will give each one of us understanding about Jesus' lesson, a better understanding, and that we'll come away with such a better understanding about how to approach the Lord. And we'll come away having faith of the kind that he's talking about when we do approach the Lord. Have faith in God, he says. And then he goes on to explain what happens if we do. Now let me say here that Christ is talking about an aspect of faith in this lesson that we sometimes fail to see. We usually think about faith as saving faith, don't we? And that's very often the limit that we take it to. But let's be reminded that faith covers a lot more territory than that thing that happened to you when you were made able by the Spirit of God to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was and is your Redeemer. It goes further than that. It goes beyond that. We read about that kind of faith in the last part of the second chapter of Acts, don't we? There were some folks there that day that experienced faith of a saving kind. And the Bible tells us as a result of that, about 3,000 souls were added to the Lord's church that day. And in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, we read of faith. There's an Ethiopian eunuch that comes to the knowledge of saving faith that day. When Philip preaches to him from out of the 53rd of Isaiah, the very Christ that saves him. We hear there of saving faith. But what about the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews? What do we find there, brothers and sisters? If you go over to that good old chapter and read it, it says, by faith Sarah did so-and-so. By faith Moses did so-and-so. By faith these heroes of the faith did thus and thus. And the list goes on and on and on about how certain of God's people by faith did something. James hit it right on the head, didn't he? When he said, faith without works is dead, being alone. He didn't mean that we could work our way to earning faith. What he meant was, if you've got this faith of salvation, you'll have faith that works. And that's all Christ is talking about here in our text. He's just talking about another level of faith that we don't often find our way into. Another level of faith that gives us such confidence in God, such assurance from God that He's going to give us that which our soul desires, that it becomes a fact to us then and there. The reality of it is sudden and full, and we know that we've gotten there. That's what He's talking about. Have faith in God. So let's ask a question about this, about Jesus' teaching. And let's examine a little bit about that question. If we say, the question is this, if we say that we have faith in God, and faith is supposed to be unwavering trust in the Lord, that the Lord's going to do the best in everything, do the right thing first time, every time, if we say we have that faith, then is it an act of not having faith if we pray that God will change the direction of some events or change something in our lives or give us something that's not there? Is that an act of no faith or lack of faith if we start praying that God will make a change, if in fact faith is unequivocal trust in the Lord? That's the question I pose to you. And a lot of times, I believe that we as Baptists tend to take this position. Well, the Lord's going to do things exactly as He wants to anyway. And He's going to always do what He knows is best. And it's going to always turn out the very best. So, we need to just sit back and rest in the Lord and let Him do what He will. We often take that position. I don't believe that's the position Jesus took this morning in our text. I don't believe that's it at all. I believe that there are times when we ought to follow the command of God, wherein that He would say to us, stand still and see the glory of God. But this is not a lesson about that. This lesson is about having the kind of faith in God that we know with a certainty that when we ask, we're going to have, because we're confident of what kind of God we're asking, what kind of God we're proceeding to approach with our desire. Now, let me just put this in context of today. Some of us have been asking God to change things in our country and steer us back to a place where we can be blessed again. We are just now going through a horror, brothers and sisters, in our country, where we recognize that the general and spiritual welfare of this nation will literally be decided by this upcoming election. You might say, Brother Myers, you're kind of expanding things here a little bit. No, I'm not. We have atheists and godless souls in charge of our nation, and they say, we want to take you down a path of godlessness. That's the reality in which we live. And brothers and sisters, some of us have been praying that God would bring change by which He would withdraw His hand of judgment from this nation and let us again glorify Him. Let us again sing praises in public to His name. Let us again speak the name of Christ and the name of God in our public places. Some of us have been praying about that. Now, we're asking God then to intervene, to rid us of wicked men that hate Him, men that many of who pretend that they love Him, pretend that they're believers in Christ. The ridiculousness of it is sickening. But they pretend to serve God, but in works they deny Him. So we're in that time. And they are promoting things that God hates. They are promoting things that are an abomination to God. And things that He has always, always brought judgment upon a nation because of. Now, within the framework, brothers and sisters, of this reality that we live in today, that we are in right now, let's test our Savior's teaching here by looking at how we should see this lesson. I just said, having faith in God is about trusting that He will do the right thing for His people and His creation. Right? That's what having faith in God is all about. And yet in the midst of this faith, we ask the question, then do we just sit back and, as I said, say, there's no need to talk to God about this thing. There's no need to ask God for a certain outcome, to ask for a change. No need to do that. Let's just sit back and let's just rest in God and let Him do as He pleases. Shall we do that? I want to answer that question because it's a pivotal question this morning for every child of God who can think about it. It's a pivotal question because it will determine how you answer it. What answer you come up with will determine whether or not you're willing to seize the hand of God for the salvation of our country. And it'll also determine whether you're willing to seize the hand of God for other great and miraculous things that you want to see God do in your life or in your surroundings, with your family or with your friends or whatever the burden of your heart might be. Now, I want to answer this question and help us examine whether this attitude of laying back and letting God do what He's going to do anyway, whether this kind of attitude is right or not. And we're going to answer the question by looking at some facts first about Jesus' teaching here in our Word. And then we're going to look at examples of some godly people, some saints of God out of the Bible that came to the very same kind of place as this that we are in here today and what they did about it. So we'll look at how Jesus presents this, and then we'll look at some people and how they handled this kind of crossroads situation. First, what about the facts surrounding Jesus' statement and promise here? What about the facts of just what He's talking about in our text? Look, and notice first that the instruction to have faith in God that He gives us is inseparably connected with exercising an action that can only be born of faith. Now let me say that again. Notice that Jesus' command or exhortation or instruction to have faith in God is married to an action in His teaching that is an action of faith. Notice. Now look at it and you'll see what I'm saying here. He says, have faith in God. Okay, Lord Jesus, You've taught us to have faith in God. What else are You teaching us? First of all, He doesn't say, have faith in God, and the way that you do that is to just sit still, be quiet, don't go to God to pray about changing anything. He doesn't say it that way, does He? What He does say is, have faith in God, and I tell you truly that if you believe, certain impossible things will come to pass, then they will come to pass. And He teaches us by that this faith that He's talking about is about believing God will act exactly as we're asking. And so, this is what He's teaching us. God will give you what you desire. When you pray for something, go to God with this attitude that Jesus teaches, this attitude of having faith in God, and you'll have what you desire. Now, this connection that Jesus made between having faith in God and with the trust and the confidence, going ahead and believing, that is, and asking some impossible things, it makes a connection, brothers and sisters, between faith and asking by believing, or asking and believing. There is that inseparable marriage. I want that clear to us this morning, because if you're asking God for something, the only way that there is a trueness to the asking is if you're believing that He will grant it. Now, so Jesus makes a connection between these two. Now, here's the lesson from that. The kind of faith that He's talking about is that complete confidence in God, complete confidence in God concerning approaching Him with our wishes. Now, as I said earlier, there are some things, brothers and sisters, that cause us to sit quietly before God and let God do work. There are. But this is not what He's talking about. He's talking about taking spiritual and internal action as a result of having faith in God. Now, this action that we as God's people are called by the Lord to take here in His teaching, it's about using faith to approach God about things we desire and have those things because that's the way we approach Him. Now let's look at some examples that strengthen this idea that Jesus is teaching us about here. This idea of by faith, the kind of faith that says, I'm asking it, I'm declaring it, because God's going to give it. Let's look at some examples. There are dozens, but I'm going to use two. I'm going to use two examples. First of all, let's look in Exodus chapter 32. I want to show you something here. I wish I had more time, but I don't. And I'm going to have to pick up, I'm sure, the latter part of this message next service that we have. We probably won't do it tonight because of the special meeting we're having, but we'll get back to this. But we want to get through at least this one point that we're making. In Exodus chapter 32, beginning verse 10, we find something here that's happening that looks like a rare occurrence as far as being recorded in the Bible, and it is, but it leaves us with a great message about this thing of having faith in God. Here's Moses. The children of Israel have brought God to his last nerve. And he's saying, that's it. I'm going to destroy this rebellious people, and Moses, I'll make of you a great nation. And Moses knows that it's end time for the children of Israel. And verse 11, let's go back and read verse 10 to set the stage. Now therefore, God says, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord. His God said, Lord, why doth thy anger wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountain and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from my fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Here is a case where a child of God dares to approach God and say, Lord, rethink this. And here's what I want to ask you to do. Moses was bold enough to ask for it and say, Lord, if you won't do this, just blot my name out of the book. But he asked God for this thing, very bold, that he comes and asks God. And it appears that God's very intent here at this point in time is to destroy Israel. But the intercession of Moses, we ought to see as an act of having faith in God, that is confidence and trust that he can ask God something and have that something. Moses knew that God would do the right thing. But among the right things of God, I believe there are options with God. We sometimes think of the decreed will of God as giving God no options. That isn't so. God's God. And you know, God can change direction any time. And you might argue and say, but the Bible says, I am the Lord and I change not. Let me tell you something about God's change here. God's change in the 6th chapter of Genesis, where he announced to Noah that he was going to destroy the world with a flood, and a lot of other changes that God records in the Word. Let me tell you about those changes. God didn't change at all. God changed the direction that creation was taken. See that? God's the master of time and the master of creation events. And if God wants to change from letting the earth go on in wickedness and vileness to bringing a big flood and saving one family, God didn't change. He's still the same omnipotent, all-seeing, all-knowing God. But what he did was he changed direction with creation. And that's exactly what Jesus is dealing with in our text. He's dealing with the aspect of God's children approaching God about changing things and believing that God not only is able, but that God will, for reasons that can be revealed to us by His Spirit. Now, this message won't be complete till I get on and finish the subject on how our prayers sometimes do not come through. And I'll get on that down the road. Won't happen today, because this is as far as we're going to get on this one point today. But we'll get to that, if you'll bear with me. And you'll be sure to be at church on Sunday and Sunday night from now till the time that we get through all this. But Moses knew that God would do the right thing. And it would have been right for God to have destroyed Israel. That would have been right. But it was right also for God to spare Israel. Now, are the two possibilities contradictory? No, they're not. Because either possibility was in the hands of God. And if you believe as a child of God that God is always right, then if you were reading here in this account of Moses in the 32nd chapter of Exodus, if you were reading here that God destroyed the house of Israel and raised up another promised seed from Moses, you would believe as a child of God that was right. But you're reading how that God changed direction concerning destroying Israel. And because of the intercession of Moses, he stayed his hand. What a change. Brought on by one man having faith in God. We want to cover the second example before we close. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Have faith in God. Listen, brothers and sisters, I don't think we've plumbed the depths of what faith in God of the kind Jesus is teaching us in our text, what power it has, what potential it has in the life of a child of God and in the life of churches of the living God. In Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, we find here that Herod was having fun killing off the apostles. He killed James, and man, he saw that all those religious super Jews loved that. They were really up in there about that. They were glad that he did it. So what does he do? He takes Peter also. And he's got plans to kill him also. He's going to make it a big public event. And he's going to have hot dogs and popcorn and coke and have a big fair. And out in the middle of all that big hoorah that he's having, he's going to kill Peter. God's got other plans. But Peter doesn't know it. The jailers don't know it. The soldiers don't know it. And Herod certainly doesn't know it. But here, in this chapter, we find that in verse 4, when Herod had apprehended Peter, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers. That was overkill if there ever was, to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in the prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church and to God for him. I want you to note that verse very carefully there. Let's go on just a little. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. They had it double guarded. Had Peter double guarded. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Rise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel. But he thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." I want you to notice in this account that we don't have any information about the specifics of the praying that was going on by the Lord's people that night in verse 5. We don't have any specifics about what they were praying. But I believe I can tell you what they were praying, and I believe you can tell me. I believe that if we understand God, that church was praying for Peter to be released. And I believe they were praying with the kind of prayer that grapples with heaven, that brings God down to answer according as their desire is. And I believe that prayer was prayer of faith. I believe that they had faith in God. How do you know that, Brother Myers? Because Peter got freed. The angel walked in, smote him on the side, dropped his chains off of him, let him out through the jail doors and out into the city streets. That's why I know that it was a prayer of faith, and that's why I know that those people were answered of God. We knew what Herod's intention was. We knew that he planned to kill him. But we know what God did as the church was praying. Have faith in God. Now, let's go back to the fact, just before we close, about faith in God and the answer to the question that we asked. We want to base our answer on these two examples. Having faith in God, brothers and sisters, is about trusting what he does will be right, the right thing for his people and his creation, right? We believe that. That is faith. We know God will do right. So the question, the opposite question again, do we simply sit back and say, God's going to do everything right anyway? Let's just sit on our hands. Based on these examples, based on what Christ taught, is that the way we handle things? I don't think so. I really don't. I believe we do what Jesus taught, and I believe we do what Moses and Peter taught us. I believe we say, Lord, we're calling upon you for something. And we have faith, confidence, that you're going to do it for us. We're going to trust you for it, Lord. And we believe it. If you believe whatsoever you ask, you will have your desires. And you can't get much larger than commanding by the prayer of God, commanding that a mountain be rooted up and cast into the sea. A lot of other stuff that we could ask from God as His people that we are in desperate need of is so much less than that. And God is quite capable. Let me encourage us today, tonight, tomorrow, and Tuesday to learn what it means to approach God the way Jesus taught it when He said, have faith in God.